nothing will happen. So, democracy being what it is, you can then choose the questions which interest you. Yeah, so you have the focus on improving your English, but also focusing on what is important for you. Yeah. Okay, so the first set of questions are about the general trade fair strategy. Your exhibition goals, what are your primary objectives for participating in this trade fair? Are you looking to generate leads, strengthen relationships, or something else? Product highlights, which products or innovations are you most excited to showcase at the fair? How do they stand out in the market? And your target audience, who is your target audience at this trade fair? Have you tailored your approach to attract and engage them? So that's the first block of questions. The second block focuses on market insights. So sort of in relation to the trade fair, what are the current trends and demands in the German market that you have observed? How is your company positioning itself to meet these departments demands, sorry? And how, again, with the trade fair, how do you differentiate your products from those at of your competitors at the trade fair? The next point could be more interesting again because Klaus not being there. Your sales strategy. What strategies are you employing to attract and capture leads at the trade fair? Do you have any, this is a good one, do you have any innovative techniques for engaging visitors? And then the follow-up plan. What is your follow-up strategy for leads generated during the trade fair? How do you ensure that they convert into actual sales? The next block, networking and partnerships. Industry networking. Are there any likely key industry figures or potential partners you aim to connect with at the trade fair? How do you plan to approach these opportunities? And collaborations, have you identified any potential collaborations or partnerships that could be beneficial post-fair? Then challenges and solutions, common challenges. What are some of the common challenges you face when exhibiting at trade fairs? How do you address them? And the adaptability. How do you adapt your strategy during the fair based on real-time feedback and interactions with attendees? Product feedback, real-time feedback. How do you collect and utilize feedback on your products from trade fair attendees? And product development, has feedback from previous trade fairs influenced any of your product development decisions? Digital integration. Are you leveraging any digital tools or platforms to enhance your trade fair presence? How effective have they been? And in addition to your physical booth, are you engaging with virtual attendees? If so, how? Future trends. What future trends do you foresee in your industry, and how is your company preparing to stay ahead? We touched on that last week a bit. And post-trade fair strategy. After the trade fair, what are the next steps in your sales strategy, and how do you plan to maintain momentum? So, 17 questions, 50 minutes. It's all yours. So, just starting to narrow it down again, the general strategy, market insights, sales strategy, networking and partnerships, challenges and solutions, product feedback, digital integration, future outlook. Where do you want to throw your dart?
From the beginning on.
Okay, right. Okay, so. So, what are your primary objectives for participating at this trade fair? I mean, is it worth the money?
Exhibition goes, what are your primary objectives for participating in this
Participating
trade
in
fair?
trade fair.
Are you looking to generate trends or something else? So, what are my or what are our primary objectives for participating in this trade fair? Yes, so first I have to say that this trade fair is the biggest one in Europe, and I have to say that is you can divide this trade show in two parts. The first part, and this is also the start of the trade show, is that the professionals are coming to the show, and at the end on the weekend, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There are more private end user or private people on the fair. So and we are only for the professionals are on that trade fair. And when we are looking what we are doing there or what we are spending there, first, we are spending a lot of time because my colleague in UK is involved, the product management is involved, marketing is a little bit involved, and also my sales team and myself are involved. So we are spending a lot of time, and next to that, we are spending also a lot of money for that. For that trade fair. The first thing I would like to mention is that we have from now on a new trade fair booth. So it's a kit with different things. So we can build up a nicer one than we had in the past. So that's also important because this is. Was also from the perspective of costs, it was not so cheap. So we have to stay overnight, and this is something also what is making costs.
Yeah, it
So
generates costs, yeah.
it generates costs. So in total, I think we are speaking around 15 to 20,000 euros, and why we are participating at this trade fair, and this is something like a strategy. In the DACH region, and it's international fair. I have to say, it's not a national one; it's an international fair. And we are in our DACH region are not so successful in that, let's say, bike business. When we are looking to the British market, they are much more successful in that area. They are working with a company called Madison, but also with track bikes. We tried, I would say, 3 or 4 years back to be also successful in that business area, but this was not so easy. There are not so many important distributors on the market. There are just one buying group. I have spoken to a buying group called ZEG. They are located in Cologne, and we have also spoken to two or three important distributors from that market. So that's Paul Lange, but also as an example, Hartje. But they were not interested in to work with us. What were the reasons for that? At Paul Lange, so that's also product highlights when we're talking about product highlights. We It's important for us that we can present our smart washer. Smart washer is an important part for us in that area. It's not so easy to sell our aerosol spray cans like 556 or a cleaner or a lubricant, something like that, into the market. For us, it should be easier to sell the smart washer. The problem is that Paul Lange, this is, in my opinion, the biggest distributor in that market, is selling at the moment a machine from a competitor from France. So, and they said 2 or 3 years back that they are not interested in to work together with us. And now we heard from the market that they have a cooperation with our competitor, Biocircle. So, and that's not so easy for us because it was planned from our side that we will have a meeting with Paul Lange at that trade show. And that's not so easy for us at the moment because now they have, it looks like that they have a partnership with our competitor, Biocircle. But talking about the product highlights, yes, this is one part, but we also would like to speak about Evaporust. That's a rust remover. That's also a product I can see in that market, and it's also an innovative product, also like our smart washer. And we will present also our new platform, GreenForce. So talking about, let's say, bio products like 556 Bio or our CRC Hydropower. So these are new products with new technologies or with new bioformulations. So these are our highlights. Yes, we have with Biocircle a competitor is also present at the trade fair, but we are the first when we are talking about bio products, also the CRC Hydropower. So that's something really new for the market.
Just to sidetrack a minute, when you speak of the competitors also exhibiting at the trade fair, will you or someone from the others in the team, will they go across and speak with them? Do you have a friendly working competitive relationship, or is it like Coca-Cola and Pepsi? You avoid each other like the plague.
What I have seen on the website of the Eurobike trade fair, there are many competitors from us on the trade fair because it's not it's it's easy to produce aerosol spray can. So that's normal that there are many competitors on that trade fair. They are mainly coming from Italy, but also from other countries, and I have no relationship to him, to them. But there are also some other competitors like WD-40 and also Brunox, and normally I'm always speaking to them when I'm seeing them on a trade fair. So that's not a deep relationship, but it's a good relationship.
Yeah, you know what's going on, you speak with each other, and
Exactly. It's a little bit small talk, but also, asking some questions about new products or something like that. But it's on a normal level, and I have seen that we are in the same hall, so the ways are not we are not so far away.
Short paths. So given that there's a lot of competition, and given that some of them don't want to join your fantastic opportunities, And given that you are going to spend an awful lot of money, a drop in the ocean for CRC at least, but the 20,000 euros, let's take the highest end of the spectrum, 20,000 euros, you guys need to earn that money back. How are you going to do that?
We have some meetings planned with some of our potential distributors. Would like to work together with them. This is one part. And the second thing is that we are speaking to the professional end users. So these are the mechanics from the bicycle shops. In every city, you have one, two, three bicycle shops, and these bicycle shops normally have also, let's say, a small garage,
A workshop, a small workshop.
workshop, yeah, and for that workshop, they need our products, spray cans, but also Evaporust, as I explained, our rust remover, and also the smart washer. So it's like a little bit a push strategy that we say, okay, we will introduce our products to the workers, and they are asking their distributors for our products. And on the other hand, as I said, we will have some meetings with potential distributors, with potential customers.
Just let me run this past you. So here in the area where I live, is a very good bicycle shop who is also somehow a relative of Sylvie or a friend of Sylvie, but there is a connection between that shop and Sylvie. And assume that this person will come to Frankfurt and will visit your stall. Why should he go to a distributor, another middleman, and not order directly from CRC Iffezheim? Why
Yeah,
should
that's
he go that extra step? It's too complicated.
it's for me, it's not too complicated, and it's also our business model that we are not selling directly to the workshops. We are 90-95% only working with distributors, and normally, and this is what we have seen when we looked on that market, and that's the same one when we are looking on the automotive aftermarket. The workshops normally are always working with distributors. For the spare parts, spare parts, for the machines, for the bicycles, for everything.
So it's the business model. I appreciate that. What is the advantage for both you and the bicycle shop to work through a distributor?
It's easy for the workshop to place an order at the distributor, and it's much more convenient for them. For us, and also for the workshop, it's horrible to put something new in our system. So that took a long time. And that is what we are not looking for. The distributors normally have, the distributors have normally in the meantime very good online shops
Yeah,
or
online presence, yeah.
yeah, and for the workshops it's really easy to put an order in the system of the distributor.
Okay.
They can find every product on an easy way. It's not like when you are ordering something at Amazon,
Yeah.
because for me that's always, yeah, not always, but that's a high level system.
Yeah.
And normally the distributors are using in the meantime also very good online shops. They can find on the easy way the product they need.
So is it so one of the strategies would be to speak with the bicycle shop and show them the product so that they in turn promote CRC with their distributors, so they become a indirect reseller for you. Yeah, that they say, look, we've seen this fantastic product. Do you have this in your product range? Yes, then can I have it? No problem. Or the answer is no, we do not have it, but we have an alternative product which is just as good as that from CRC. So that's the risk, yeah.
That could be a risk. That's correct.
Okay.
And what is also important for me, as I said, we are not so in deep in this market. So for me, it's important to know the requirements of the mechanics of these workshops, which kind of product they are using, why they are using it. That is something what is also important for me.
So is it an interesting market, the bicycle market? Is it an interesting market for CRC, or is it so interesting that it's worth investing 20,000 euros?
Yes, this market is from interest. I'm not talking about many aerosol cans, because they are normally not using so very many, and also not so different products from us. They're using normally a cleaner and a silicone spray or a lubricant. But for us, it's important that we are successful with the smart washer. And this is what we have seen in the UK market. And that should help us to bring smart washer in total on another level, on a higher level. This is our main target.
Okay. So how am I to understand this process? So I could be a distributor who walks past your booth and I see this green baby bathtub on a set of wheels. It looks nice, it looks interesting, and then I just stand there, and then I will be brutally attacked by a team of marketing and sales experts who will want to sell me this thing on the spot. Is that the way I should see it, or how is the process?
We are not so many people on that booth, so
I'm painting a dramatic picture, that's all I'm doing.
yeah, we are only two persons on that booth, so not more every day. But how did we? Oh, what is our experience, or what are our experiences from the last trade shows we were present? Talking about Eurobike 2 years ago, talking about Eisenwarenmesse, and also talking about the Anuga FoodTec. It was always like that, that we said, there's just one person from our side speaking to another person. And it was also important to know from which area the potential customer is coming from. So is it coming from Spain or from where is it coming from? And then we said, okay, Spain is in that area. You have to speak to that guy. But as I said, we are only two persons on that booth, and that's Sebastian and myself, and together with Dave Smith. And Dave is a development manager for a smart washer, and he has many experiences because he is selling smart washer every day in the UK. And he was present at some other trade fairs, some on the British market. So that's easy for us. So we have seen that there are some distributors from other countries are also on that show, and he will speak to them, and I will speak to the German or to the Dutch ones.
Okay, but that was going to be my next question. Jose from somewhere in Madrid comes walking by and he likes your products. And your man in Spain gets the business, but you have the costs, because it's in Germany, it's in Frankfurt, it's your manpower that's going there. It's possibly coming out of your budget. And so Jose in Spain, or sorry, your person in Spain will reap the benefits of your hard labor. Not a fair situation, if I've got it right.
Yes, it is like it is. So there are many, or there are some other trade shows also in Germany, where we are spending a lot of time, because Germany is the most important
Market.
industry in Europe. So most of the or many of the most important shows or fairs are in Germany. So and we have the advantage that we don't have to travel.
Yes, that is an advantage. You don't have to travel very far. It's basically from
Exactly. Yeah.
yeah,
That is an advantage. Yeah. And I'm positive, and I'm hoping that we will have enough leads that we are successful. So yes, I know we are spending a lot of time. But hopefully we will be successful.
Okay, so what is your definition of a sales lead?
For me, it's that the success rate when we are looking on the beginning, and that I have the impression that we will be successful with more than 50%. That is something for me that what I say,
Okay,
okay.
so that's the conversion rate. You want to convert
Yeah, okay,
your sales lead into a sales, and if you have 50 plus 1%, 50 plus 0.1%, then that will be successful. But what does a sales lead have to be in order to make it interesting for you to follow up this lead and to try and convert it to a sale? And the sale isn't complete until the money is in the bank. So
Okay,
it's still quite a long way ahead before you can actually say we have a customer. So what does it actually mean to say that we have a lucrative, a hot, and interesting sales lead? What does it actually have to mean?
We have to look on that from two different, let's say, corners. Because when I'm speaking to a workshop and the guy or the worker from the workshop is interested, for example, in our smart washer, that's not so easy that we have a sales at the end. Because, as we said earlier, we have to find a distributor who is selling the smart washer to that guy. And it could be that he is speaking to many other people, salespeople, marketing people from that show. And at the end, that he is not, that he can't remember anything. And this is also a critical point for me. And on the other hand, as I said, when we are talking to potential accounts, customers, and then it should be much, much easier, because then you have a direct contact to somebody who can make a decision, or who's able to make a decision. And that is something completely, in my opinion, completely different. So, and for me, when I'm speaking to a distributor and he is explaining me how big he is, or what a market share he has, then I can decide for if it is an important lead or not so an important lead. And that's something I have to evaluate with many questions. And also, I have to look on how he is reacting on my questions, or what he's doing.
I'm going to provoke you here. The impression that I get is that, again, to paint a little bit of an analogy here, a provocative analogy, but with respect. To me, it sounds like you're going on a fishing trip. And you have a fishing rod, and at the end of the fishing rod and the line is some bait, something nice for the fish to eat. You throw it into the water, and then you wait for the fish to be attracted to the bait and then hook. And then you pull the fish out, you have a conversation with it, and then you either eat it or you throw it back into the water. Sales lead conversion. To me, it sounds like a reactive process, not a proactive process. Now, I'm going to take out of this equation the meetings that you have met, set up, and people that you will speak with, because you have done the preparation. I just want to focus on two people, everybody on a relatively high income. You can work out how much per hour that's going to cost, plus all the extra costs. And you're going on a fishing trip. Doesn't sound proactive
How many times you were on a trade show booth? How many times you worked on a fair, Frank?
I have been not many times, not certainly never as an exhibitor.
Yeah.
Because the costs are simply too prohibitive,
Yeah. Yeah.
and even as I had my own language school back in the early 2000s, you just couldn't afford these things. As a person attending a trade fair, It is part of my strategy to generate sales leads for myself, but I have the deep problem that I too am a market player. I want to sell something, as does the person I'm speaking with, but I don't want to buy his product, and he's not necessarily interested in my product at a specific point of time. If I collect business cards, then I'm quite happy. At that point, if I just get some contact names, then I'm happy. Apart from which, everybody knows that if you sit in at a trade fair in a booth and sell your product, or if you go there as a person having a look what's available, it is exhausting. It is 100% exhausting. On both sides. So that's my experience with trade fairs. My provocation remains the same. Let me finish this one. I remember I went to one trade fair in Stuttgart a few years ago, and I spoke with a Chinese producer of something. I've forgotten what it was. And I said, "What's your biggest pain point?" And he said, "Convincing the market that our products are of good quality." Okay, end of discussion. But okay, so there it is. So my provocation still stands.
Coming back to that, you are 100% right. You're 100% right, and I can tell you why. As I said, the Eurobike is a huge trade show with so many people, so many different trade show booths, and we are just one very, 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 very small part of that trade show. I was the first time when I was at Eurobike was in the year 2020 in Friedrichshafen. I was there because I said, what is our strategy with smart washer? Where could it be from interest? And I said, in the bicycle area, there is a possibility that we are or that we can be successful. And I visited that show, and after that show, I was really impressed about how big are some booth stands were. It was, and on that show, I have seen, as an example, one of our potential distributors, Paul Lange. I can't tell you, Frank, how many square meters, but I can tell you there were more than 20 people from Paul Lange on that booth. And when I've seen that, I said, yes, this trade show is very nice, very, very huge, and we should be there. But as I said, we are just one small, a very, very small part of that business. So we have a booth of 4 by 5 meters or 4 by 3 meters. So you can't find us, let's say like that. So, and you are absolutely right. We have to look that we will find the important contact persons. So we have to look on the other booths or on the other stands. We have to speak to them, and we have to look very carefully who is walking around. And then it's important for us to say, hello, are you interested in our products? Mac can show you what we have. This is something we have to do.
So it is more a networking opportunity. It is more a partnership opportunity. And the real work happens when everyone's gone home and everybody hits the phones and says, okay, let's talk and let's drink coffee and see what happens. So it's less about generating sales because that is I think everybody in a trade fair knows that that it's just too enormous to fathom. So everybody just wants to say, hello, here I am. This is my house. Yeah. This is my stall. These are my products. Here is some literature. But the most important piece of paper is a business card with an email address. And if you get 500 of those and you convert them 250, then that looks like something worth looking at. Yeah.
We will not have an order block with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is completely different to an automotive show when we are at an independent automotive trade show organized by our buying groups or our distributors. That's completely different. Then you are speaking to workers from the workshop, from the garages, and then you can sell, because at these shows you are listed with your products, and then it's easy. You can tell them a price, you can show them some activities, some promotions, that's easy, and then you can sell. So at the end of the day you can say, wow, we have sold products on the amount was, let's say, 5,000 euros.
You produce some tangible metrics that you can feed into your system, and then you produce and say, okay, there is a concrete result in euros.
But at this show, because this show is not organized from a distributor, we are not listed at any of them, and from that side, for us, we can't sell anything directly. Hopefully, at the end, it's a way to find distributors, potential distributors, and some leads. But we can't sell anything at that moment.
Okay, so a completely different strategy. So there's two of you. So let's say you and Sebastian are going to be there at some point during the week. You then, how should I understand this? You stay at the booth and make sure that somebody bites on your fishing line, and Sebastian walks around and says, hello, I am Talala. And then when he's tired, you come back, and then he goes and looks at the fishing line, and you go out and say, hello, here I am, ta-la-la-la-la. Or how am I supposed to understand it? Aside from all the pre-arranged meetings.
Normally, that is the way we are doing on these kind of fairs. Yeah, that's correct. We are on our stand. We are, let's say, waiting of the visitors. And then we are speaking to them. Some of them coming to our booth because they see, like, our smart washer, or they see Eversource Bacon and asking us, what's this? What this product can do. But on the other hand, and this is something what will be much more important for this trade show, we have to speak, or we have to ask people who are walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have the one fantastic advantage is that you are a person who is connected with the industry. You have a product that is of interest to the industry. You are all in the same aquarium swimming around. But there are a couple of weirdos like me who have nothing to do directly with the product and who just want to, at best, collect your business card, and hopefully you will remember our conversation 3 days later. The chances of that are less than zero. How do you deal with this kind of situation? But you might actually end up speaking with somebody who is not related to the industry at any shape, size, or form, except through some other connections.
Yeah,
He's wasting your time.
yeah, you're right. That could happen, or that happened many times. Yes, and this is why I said in the beginning, you have to ask the right questions that you can analyze. If it will be a good lead or not a lead. And sometimes this is when you are working like in a media market, that also can happen there. Somebody is coming in your store asking many questions about, let's say, a TV screen or something else. And at the end, it was only something that he asked for informing
Himself.
himself.
Exactly. And then buy it online somewhere cheaper.
Or he's looking who is in that area selling it cheaper or something like that. Or what also happened in the past, that a guy from a competitor, and I've never seen that guy before, was coming on our booth and asked a lot of questions. And at the end, he said, "Thank you and goodbye." And 2 days later, I have seen him on a trade show booth of our competitor. So that can also happen. That's not nice, but I'm not doing that. When I'm going to a competitor booth, I'm always telling them, "Hi, I'm Heiko from CRC. We are also selling aerosol cans, and I have seen your booth. Blah, blah, blah." This is how I'm doing my conversations.
So you are going to be there for a couple of days. Is this fun? You enjoy trade fairs?
Yeah, I'm enjoying trade shows. Yeah.
Why?
For me, it's sometimes it's not easy. You have to motivate yourself. Sometimes it happened that there were not so many visitors on the fair, and then you have to motivate yourself to speak to visitors who are walking around. But, and it's also, I would say, when you are on a 1 day fair, that's totally easy. 2 days, okay, it's also, yeah, it's easy. But after 3 days, it's not so easy for your body. And also not so easy for your brain, but you always find a solution. That's easy. So I was, when I'm looking back some years ago, when it was, I would say, around 2015, I was on 17 trade fairs. All of them were on the weekend. Many of them from Friday till Sunday. And we have to also build up and
take down the booths and the stores.
So normally you are for 5 days on a fair. It was always, for me, it was always okay.
It was
always okay.
Yeah, if the family plays along with it, then
yeah, this was the other side.
Yeah, and of course that's another issue. Okay, so the next question is what I would call a loaded question.
Yeah,
because we can then follow up next Monday to see what happened. So, can you list your expectations of this trade fair, and then on Monday next week we'll compare the expectations and what happened. So are you going there? What do you expect to have achieved? Nice to have, important, and maybe the one occasional surprise that you didn't expect, which is what a surprise is. So what are your expectations for this trade fair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will do that, yeah.
I wanted it now.
I thought you...
Yeah. No. Spontaneity is the rule in this game.
Okay. Expectations.
Mm.
Expectations. For me, the most important thing is that we are successful with some distributors. So what does successful means? For me, it's important that we not only have a good conversation, that at the end of the day, I would like to say that we will find two new distributors for us in that area.
Okay.
For the DACH region.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a, yeah, that's the most important.
That's a very concrete goal, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, for me, that's very important. Otherwise, poor. Yes, we have to find other ways that we are successful or that we are successful in that market. That's also for me. And, but I hopefully, I would like to find more, distributors. So I'm looked in the,
catalog.
In the catalog, and I have seen this one is a distributor and this one is a distributor, but there are so many companies on that show, and it could be that I have not seen every distributor who is important for that market. So hopefully I will find the one or the other distributor who is also important for the DACH market. That's okay. Also an goal from my side.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm talking about end users,
mm-hmm.
For me, it's important when we are showing a smart washer and also our other products, I would like to see a positive reaction from the workshop guys.
Okay.
And that they are impressed from our smart washer, how how the smart washer is working, how the smart washer is cleaning the parts, that the price of the smart washer is not too high. This is what I would like to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And that I have a better feeling about our products from a market perspective.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's three goals, three expectations. So next Monday we can compare the result and see what has happened. Yeah. Just to wrap up from last week, did you manage to have a chat with Kati about the lack of activity concerning your?
No, no. I have written yesterday an email to Kati about many urgent or important points. And because from her side, it's a problem. For me, there is no conversation at the moment. I can't reach her. And yesterday, Sunday morning, I decided to write an email to her about really urgent things. Now it's 10 o'clock. There is no reaction from her side. This is not what I like to have. It's on my table. And I have to react on that.
Ouch, that hurts. Yeah, not a good situation to be in.
Okay. No, if she is not coming back to me because of that email, I'm sitting tomorrow morning in the car driving from my hometown to Frankfurt to the fair. Then I have to call her once again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I keep my fingers crossed that there is some progress front. I also keep my fingers crossed that you achieve the goals that you have set yourself in Frankfurt, and that you have an enjoyable time.
And a nice fishing tour, a trip.
Yeah, a nice trip.
Okay. No, Frank, as I said, you're 100% right.
Yeah. I just have to warn you, sometimes I can be somewhere along the lines of a little bit ironic or so.
No problem with that.
Yeah, it's a provocation in the sense that I just to get you going, to get you talking. Okay. All right. So good luck for the week.
Thanks a lot.
We'll compare notes next Monday. Yeah.
Yeah. See you, Frank. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye.